team is down on the scoreboard, they come into the locker room, and what does a good coach do? Think about that for a minute. What does a good coach do? You're the coach, the team's down, they're all looking to you, they're kind of bummed out. What do they do? What do you do? Well, here's what I think the good coach does. I think the good coach spends very little time saying, you need to pass the ball more, you need to run faster. But this is what the good coach does. The good coach says, guys, see that scoreboard out there? That is not who you are. That is not who you are. You are not the losers of this game. You are not the ones that are behind. Regardless of what that scoreboard says, and he speaks identity into them, and they walk back onto the court with a renewed identity, a refreshed memory of what their actual identity is, and they play a different game in the second half. And so that's why we've been talking about identity, because there's a scoreboard that gets held up over your life every once in a while. Somebody else holds it up, or maybe you hold it up yourself. And sometimes the numbers don't look so good. But I'm here to tell you, that is not what you're supposed to be looking at. You're supposed to be looking at that identity, that one true, authentic, God-given identity that is inside of you, that was placed there at birth. Have you heard of the term sovereign beginnings? Sovereign beginnings has to do with all the choices at your beginning that God set up. Okay? He decided if you were male or female. He decided what race you were. He decided where you were going to be born. He decided who your parents were, your siblings. That's all sovereign beginnings. That's all stuff that was set up by God himself before you ever started. Okay? In that, there was an identity that was imparted to you. And that identity is a one true, authentic, God-given identity. And it's completely different than something you got from your parents, something you got from your teachers, your classmates, the guy that yells something at you in traffic because you made a mistake. Right? You can't take on those kind of identities. And Eric Little said an interesting thing. He said, God made me for a purpose, but he said, when I run, I feel his pleasure. And when we walk in the identity that God has given us, we feel his pleasure. And so, you know, a few weeks ago we talked about Gideon. Let me just refresh that a little bit. Gideon's a great example of an identity. Midian has came in, and they've overrun Israel. They've taken everything. And it says that the people were actually starving. And Gideon's down in the wine press, thrashing out grain, hiding. I got to say hi. And the angel appears to him, and what does the angel say to him? Hail, mighty warrior. So he addresses him, and so he says, hail, mighty warrior, and then he says, go in this your strength and deliver Israel. And so we know the story that Gideon goes, he delivers Israel from Midian, and I'm going to suggest to you that the angel did not impart identity to Gideon. He already had that identity, and he was walking in a different identity, and all the angel did was to point him towards his real identity, help him reveal his real identity. And so that's mostly what we want to talk about today, is we want to talk about how understanding that you have a one true God-given authentic identity, but how do you discover that? How do you ever find that? Because I've heard a statistic that only 20% of leaders ever discover that. So if 20% of leaders, then what about the rest of us? You know, how do we discover that? And also, as you as in the story of Gideon, you know, he needed an encouraging word, so he goes down into the enemy's camp at night and stops by a tent, and he hears the guys in the tent talking, and one of them wakes up his buddy, and he says, "I just had this dream, and in this dream, this barley loaf rolls down the hill and destroys the camp of Midian." And his buddy goes, "Well, that can be nothing but the sword of Gideon." Couldn't be anything else. And here's the interesting thing about that comment is when you walk in your true identity, the enemy actually prophesies his own destruction.
Come on, that's so good.
Then later in that same story, Gideon captures a couple kings. And he says to the kings, he says, "What were the guys like that you killed a while back?" And he says to Gideon, he said, "Everyone was like you. They looked like a king's son." So now, how did the story start? The story started, Gideon is hiding from the Midians. He argues with the angel about his actual identity. But once he walks into it, even the enemy realizes his identity and recognizes something on him. So in order to help you in your journey, I wanted to talk to you a little bit about mine and tell you how I discovered my spiritual identity. And so in 2007, we went to a conference out on the East Coast, and prior to that, for as long as I could remember, I always heard this negative voice speaking to me, "You're going to fail, you're not going to do well, nobody really likes you," just constant, that constant voice that just, it is just there all the time, and I couldn't shake it. And I go to this conference, and towards the end of the conference, that thing is broken off of me. And for the first time in my life, I feel like I can hear my own thoughts, and I don't have that chattering thing going on inside of me. And what I learned afterwards is that that's called a familiar spirit, because it sounds like it's you, but it's not you. It's something else whispering in your ears. So prior to that conference, another thing that had taken place is I'd be in times of worship, and the presence of God would come, and quite often I'd sit there and I'd go, "I used to have a sword. I used to have a sword, but I don't have a sword anymore. And I don't know what happened to it. I don't know if somebody took my sword or if I just left it. All I know is I don't have my sword." And so in this conference, after that that voice was silenced, there was an experience I had where I visited heaven, and when I visited heaven, I was walking through a forest on a sunny day, and you could feel the cool of the shade, and when you'd walk into a sunny place, you'd feel the warmth of the sun. And then I came to a clearing, and in the clearing was a treasure chest. And the Lord said, "There's something in there that you can take back with you." And the interesting thing about this treasure chest is that it wasn't just like you found a treasure chest and you open it and whatever's in there is in there, but it was like there was something that was in your heart that was in there.
Wow.
You know what I mean? And so my first thought was, well, I kind of need some money, but I thought, you know what? I am not going to heaven for finances, because I can find finances here. What I really want is a sword.
Wow.
And I walked up to the treasure chest, opened it up, dug around in it. There's quite a few things in there, but there's a sword. So I took the sword, and I remember walking back through the forest, and I was just excited and happy to have this sword. And he'd come up to a tree. I was kind of playing with it. Come up to a tree, and in the natural, you swing a sword at a tree, and it cuts in slightly and stops, right? But this sword would pass through something effortlessly.
Wow.
And so I'm at this conference, and this has just taken place, like all this right together. This voice in my head was broken. The sword thing happened, and I'm sitting there like this, and there's some kind of worship music going on, and I'm in my spirit holding this sword. I got my eyes closed, and suddenly, right next to me, this lion leaps into the room from one dimension into another. And it's just like his feet break in, and then his nose, and then his whole body just leaps into the room over on this side of me. And then he walks around me, and he stands right here beside me. And I can reach out, and I can stroke his fur. And then the Lord said to me, "This is a companion that I've given you." And that started me on this quest of identity. Because I'm like, who has a sword and a lion as a companion? You know? Like, and not only that, but I didn't even really understand that you had a personal God-given identity that was anything like that. And so it actually, I'm probably slower than most people. It took me 2 years to figure that out. What is my true spiritual identity? And so there's clues, you know. Where's your greatest anointing? Where's your greatest effect with people? What do you like? What gives you juice? What excites you? What influences you, and where do you have influence with others? You know, I've led work crews now for 29 years, and a great deal of those guys are lifelong friends, and so okay, well, there's some kind of a leadership thing then, because every job I ever go on, I become the crew leader, you know, and so I start thinking about this stuff, and then I'm like, well, what do I really like? Well, I'm never happier than when I'm walking through the woods with a gun. You know, I bought a few guns, and my wife's like, well, what does that one do that the other one doesn't? And I'm like, well, don't ask those kind of questions.
Lots.
Oh. You know, I've noticed that I have an influence on men, because when I'm on a work crew, especially the younger guys like to do verbal sparring, you know, and it goes back and forth, and some of it's pretty funny. But I've noticed if I enter into that, the guys take it way too hard. So I have to refrain from that. You know, the Bible says that spiritual things are spiritually discerned. And so that true identity in you, that's a spiritual thing, and it takes spiritual discernment to be able to understand that. And it says to ask, seek, and knock. And I think if you really want to know, you're going to have to pursue that. You're going to have to really pursue it, really view your life, ask other people, what do you see in my life? You know, I don't think you're just going to stumble onto it. You know, it's sort of like debt. It's easy to stumble into debt, but nobody stumbles out of debt. You got to be intentional to get out of debt, you know? It's like that with overweight too. Like, it's easy for me to gain a few pounds, but if I want to lose some pounds, I got to be intentional. And I think same thing with your spiritual identity. You have to be intentional. You really have to want to know. And so anyway, so here I am, I can lead, I have a sword, I have a lion, and then I'm listening to Graham Cook, and he starts talking about spiritual warriors and describing spiritual warriors, and all of a sudden it clicks, and it's God made me to be a spiritual warrior. And so there's a lot of things in the natural that I like that are connected to that. And one thing I've learned about dealing with the enemy is the enemy I'll say it this way. The enemy always backs down when I am completely in. When I have an abandon, the enemy always backs down. But if I still have a little, maybe, then he doesn't back down. And here's an example. Stray dog comes in your yard, is making a big mess in your yard. You go out, you yell at him, you stomp your foot, and he looks at you like, who are you? So you go get the broom, and you slap the broom against the side of the house, and you tell him, get out of here, and he growls at you. Now, behind one door, I had a broom. Behind a different door, I got a 12-gauge. You see what I'm saying? It only ends one way. And in your encounters with the enemy, you got to still have that same, this is only going to end one way. Because if you put in a clause, it only ends this way unless it might end some other way. And also you get a lot of answers when you're in all the way. And until you're in all the way, you can't figure out all the answers, you know. There's a book that came out a few years ago called The Purpose-Driven Life, and I really think it would have been more appropriate if it was The Identity-Driven Life, because you can have a purpose. I think your giftings, your purpose, your calling, all of that comes out of that true identity that's in you. You don't get your identity from those things. Those things come out of the identity of who you are. Do you guys have any questions about this? I went through that pretty fast.
It's really good.
Could you repeat the different things that you went through to find your true identity? You just had a bunch of ideas.
Yeah. So the clues. Yeah, the clues are, a big one is, where do you find your anointing? Where do you feel anointed? That's a big one, because that's directly connected to your spiritual life. And then what moves your heart? You know, when you're in certain situations, there's something that stirs you deep inside, like not just I get a little upset or I get a little excited, but something that stirs you deep. And then there's where's your influence? You know, who do I impact? And who impacts me, you know? Your giftings, your purpose, all of that is tied into that. Yeah. Well, I think, you know, if we were to go New Testament, Peter had an encounter that the first Peter that we see and the last Peter that we see is completely different.
Yeah.
You know, and I would say probably the same thing. Well, Paul, of course, is an easy one, but even when you look at Paul's life from when he first got saved to the very end, there was a significant difference. You know, and you could say, well, some of that is growth and maturity, and probably, but I think a lot of it has to do with discovering his true identity, and then putting all that, putting the pieces together after he discovered his true identity. And so the way this would work out in a body then, so here's what I think. I think if individuals started to discover their true identity, families discovered their identity. I think churches have identities. I think nations have identities. And I think that's one of the problems with most of the nations in the world right now is the nation itself doesn't understand its own identity. You know, why does it exist? Is there a nation anywhere in the world now that actually asks that question, why do we exist? Why are we here? You know? I think if we could discover identity and it would spread, I think it would shift the valley. I think it would shift Montana. I think it could shift the nation. It would certainly shift your own life and your family, you know.
Brett.
Yes, sir.
By your description, going back to the line, it came into that room, paws, head, and body.
Yeah, dove right in. Okay. Well, let me say this. I forgot to tell this part of the story. So that all happened, and then that night, Colleen and I are staying in a hotel room, and I wake her up because I'm having a fitful dream or some kind of a fitful. Okay.
Keith. We're in bed and sleeping, and he starts tossing and turning like he's having a nightmare, and just very, very fitful. And I'm about to wake him up when I hear the roar of a lion in the room. And then it was just completely silent and completely peaceful, and he fell back to sleep, and I fell back to sleep, and when... It was just very, like, it. I'm almost certain that I heard it with my physical ears. No, it wasn't, and I don't remember him ever having a fitful dream like that again, like ever. So,
that's how I remember it.
Well, thank you for clarifying that. All right, well, we're going to wrap up, but I just encourage you to just get before the Lord and just say, God, I really want to know. I really want to know who I am, why you made me, what I'm about, because it would be sad to live your life and not discover that. So thank you, guys.
Before you leave, I just want to have you just pray over us. I do want to say this, like I feel like these two messages now that Brett's brought on identity, I feel are so important and key. Probably a lot of us maybe at different times have had a journey in identity. For myself, there was a lot of healing that happened to Carolee and I in the realm of identity when we went to Bethel. We went to the School of Supernatural Ministry 14 years ago. And for me, it was all about sonship, just sonship and, you know, Carolee daughtership. And so in my journey of identity, there's been this enormous deposit in my own life about just for me being a son, but it's about being a son or a daughter. And I've never pondered before these two messages, the reality that God has an identity for each one of us that's more than just son or daughter. That, as important as that is, as powerful and amazing and important as that is for each one of us to embrace and to understand as a son or daughter all the implications of that as a prince and princess, that's huge. But at the same time, I feel like this message is really, I feel like there's an invitation in this message.